Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream doesn't. Welcome to Beyond the Mainstream with Donnie C., Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin hat not required. Call us with your opinion at 347-324-3752.
Where's Bob, oh, darling, little darling, where is Bob, where's Bob, oh, little darling, where is Bob, it's nice to meet you, but honey, where's Bob, once I finally got a chance to date the prom queen, she took me home to meet a family. At last, I could hold my head above the common mob till they asked her one by one, where's Bob? Where's Bob? Oh, little darling, where is Bob? Where's Bob? Oh, little darling. Nice to meet you, but honey, well, where's Bob?
We hit a commercial.
We are Forever Green Grow Supplies for all your indoor and outdoor growing needs. We carry a full line of many big name vendors in stock. We also offer dried herbs, spices, and many blends of tea with fresh herbs coming in February. Open to help you from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. 7 days a week. Visit our website at forevergreengrow.com or like us on Facebook. Located in Vassar, Michigan at 340 South Main Street, right across from M&J Auto. We offer discreet delivery within 10 miles of Vassar. Stop in and see us soon or call us at 989-882-9177. We are looking forward to helping you. Thanks in advance, Forever Green.
Go check out our friends, Forever Green. Go see Paul and his wife. They'll take care of you. How you doing, Cindy?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good, very good. Of course, we're starting the show because if we waited for Bob, no telling when we would start. So we'll start now.
Okay. Let me get this kind of funny thing out of the way. Now, Jay Carney likes to dance around the subject and will answer questions in the press briefings and stuff.
Oh, yes.
So
he's good at it.
Yeah. So... Yahoo News went ahead and analyzed the 444 briefings that he had, and they came up with the 13 distinct strains of answers to dodge a question. Now, what I don't have the answer. He's done 1,905 times. I would refer you to someone else, you know, like I would refer you to the FDA or FEMA.
Yeah.
1385. You already know the answer 1,125 times. I'm not going to tell you, and that one pretty much I'm not going to tell you, you know, I'm not going to go into specifics about something.
Yes.
Okay, he did that one 939 times, not that I know of, and I don't want to, which is I don't want to speculate, I don't want to get in, you know, I don't want to tell you what other people believe, that kind of thing. I'm not sure. I won't speculate. No comment. I'll get back to you. It's a good question. See yesterday's response, and the president won't tell me.
Yeah, I've seen that. He doesn't like to answer any questions
and
unless
the press has made fun of him because he always kind of starts it with, I appreciate the question. They know that's exactly when he's going to give them a non-answer.
Right. by the way, in the chat room, we had the world famous Cow Killer.
Hey, Cow Killer.
Our good friend Cow Killer is in the chat room tonight. And that's nice to see him. And, of course, he beat Bob to the show. But that's not unusual.
Well, you know, you're not paying him, so you can't fire him.
Well, that's true. I wouldn't fire Bob anyway. We've been doing it too long. Do you dig?
I dig.
All right. There's a lot of crap going down. A lot of lies. And even Bill O'Reilly is coming out for immigration.
What?
Yeah, he had a chat with, I understand, with Rubio. And now he's all for it. He thinks that's the thing to do. And that's pretty amazing to me. See, this man has changed, they got something on him. Oh, and there's another article about NSA wiretapping judges, Supreme Court judge by one, and all kinds of politicians, senators, congressmen.
Yeah, they tried to throw out there to save their butt that, oh, they wiretapped Obama, you know, before the election,
yeah.
Bush era. I'm like, yeah, that was because that was when what's-his-name got caught for trying to...
Name? I don't know.
Who was the idiot that got caught for
You've
trying to sell
Obama? You've entered an invalid destination number. Please try again later. Please enter the magic number you are trying to reach.
What in the hell was that?
Sorry, you've entered an invalid destination number. Please try again later. Please enter the magic number you are trying to reach.
I don't.
Sorry, you've entered an invalid destination number. Please try again later. Please enter the magic number you are trying to reach.
I'll get rid of all this. I don't have nothing.
Sorry, you've entered an invalid destination number. Please try again later.
You got rid of it, whatever it was.
Yeah, but it was Bob. It
was Yeah, we're still on.
Yeah, we're...
The magic number.
Jesus, Bob.
Maybe he was trying to prank you for playing the Where's Bob thing.
That was wild. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, remember when the... was it the governor that was trying to sell Obama's seat?
Yes.
And that's,
he's in prison.
Yeah, but that was what the wiretapping was about.
But they said the guy said they wiretapped Obama.
Yeah.
Before he was anybody, you know, apparently he was still a state senator.
Yeah, he hadn't backed away to, but he was going to.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he was going for the presidential run, and that's when the guy started shopping his office. So that's what that one was about.
I do think I got the take, if it'll play.
They went after, and I know this because I had my hands literally on the paperwork for these sort of things. They went after high-ranking military officers. They went after members of Congress, both Senate and the House, especially on the Intelligence Committees and on the Armed Services Committees and some of Judicial. But they went after other ones, too. They went after lawyers and law firms, all kinds of heaps of lawyers and law firms. They went after judges. One of the judges is now sitting on the Supreme Court that I had his wiretap information in my hand. Two are former FISA court judges. They went after State Department officials. They went after people in the executive service that were part of the White House, their own people. They went after anti-war groups. They went after U.S. companies that do international business, business around the world. They went after U.S. banking firms and financial firms that do U.S. International business. They went after NGOs that, like the Red Cross and people like that, that go overseas and do humanitarian work. They went after a few anti-war civil rights groups. So, you know, don't tell me that there's no abuse, because I've had this stuff in my hand and looked at it. And in some cases, I literally was involved in the technology that was going after this stuff. And my, you know, when I said to Overman, I said, my particular thing is high tech, and what's going on, you know, is the other thing, which is the dragnet. The dragnet is what Mark Klein is talking about, the terrestrial dragnet. Well, my specialty is outer space. I deal with satellites and everything that goes in and out of space. I did my spying via space. So that's how I found out about this.
Now, Russ, the targeting of the people that you just mentioned, top military leaders, members of Congress, intelligence community leaders, and the it was intelligence committees. Let me correct that, not intelligence community. And then executive branch appointees. This creates the basis and the potential for massive blackmail.
Absolutely. And remember, we talked about that before, that I was worried that the intelligence community now has sway over what is going on. Now, here's the big one. I haven't given you any names. This was in summer of 2004. One of the papers that I held in my hand was to wiretap a bunch of numbers associated with a 40-some-year-old wannabe senator from Illinois. You wouldn't happen to know where that guy lives right now, would you? It's a big White House in Washington, D.C. That's who they went after. They went after, and that's the president of the United States now. And they went after, I can give you names of a bunch of different people they went after that I saw, the names and the phone numbers of like Congress, not only the names, but it would look like staff people too, and their staffs, and not only their Washington offices, but back home in their congressional, you know, little offices they have at their homes, you know, their home state offices and stuff like that. This thing is incredible what NSA's done. They've basically turned themselves, in my opinion, into a rogue agency that has J. Edgar Hoover capabilities at a monstrous scale on steroids.
All right, there's that part. I do think we have Bob back on. Let's see. Bob?
Yay.
Did you hear the magic number? Did you type it in or print it in or push it in? Or did you not hear that?
I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah.
Would you like to explain it?
Oh, my neighbor was telling me about this app you could get on your phone, Magic Jack.
Oh, the Magic Jack, yes.
Yeah. So, and then you can, so we were trying it out, and I ended up taking it off. But there was numbers on it that.
You didn't have the numbers? Is that what it was?
You have to register and all this other crap, and I didn't do it, and it just jacked my phone up.
I got you. Now, that tape we just played, I don't know if you heard it.
I did.
Well, that, you know, Cheryl Atkinson from CBS, she's not saying her computer was hacked, but she's saying that, something went cockeyed with all the computers at CBS and her computer at home, would mysteriously turn on at night and then mysteriously again turn off. And she's not saying anything, you know, because they've got her, you know, she's done some great reporting. She busted up open Fast and Furious.
Right.
And Benghazi, she's all over that. And so that coincides with what this tape was. Now, if you're blackmailing, well, let's say that you could blackmail, say, a Supreme Court justice that you had some information on to, like, vote for Obamacare?
Mm-hmm.
Or any kind of vote, senator, congressman? That would explain a lot of things to me. And don't tell me they wouldn't use it, especially the Obama administration.
Well, from what I understood on the computer, on her computer, and a bunch of computers on at what is it, CBS, right?
ABC. Yeah, CBS.
CBS. Yeah. They came and inspected those computers. Now they didn't come out and say that they were hacked. What they did say was something had gotten into the computers.
Right. They didn't say that, you know, they checked for everything they could check for. And
they called it infiltrated.
Yeah, it was infiltrated.
There you
right.
go. That was the word that they used. So that's another word, a nice way of putting it. They got hacked.
Yes. They got hacked. They don't want to come out and say they got hacked because CBS is the Obama network. Also,
right, and that's the one I believe. Well, I'm not going to say that because I'm not 100% sure. I'm not always for sure if he was with ABC or CBS, but one of those clowns was a brother of somebody in the Obama administration. So,
right,
I heard, seen the story where they were talking about that, and I'm not saying one way or the other because I don't know. But
right.
that Supreme Justice, the voters for Obamacare, they were kind of curious on if he was, you know, so they're kind of curious if he was not some way or another persuade, let's just say.
Yeah.
That he did.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying he did or didn't because I don't know, but that's what's out there.
Well, Senator Mike Lee wrote a book.
Uh-huh.
And said that... they wondered and if there could be an unknown reason why he changed his mind all of a sudden, and he says he somebody got to him. That's all he would say.
Yeah.
Somebody got to him and he changed his vote. And Cow Killer wants to know about a mermaid thing. I sure don't know what he's talking about.
Is there such thing as mermaids?
I know there's Mr. Lipid. I seen that in a movie.
Well, I think I know what he's talking about because there was a show that came on that they wanted to know if there was really such thing as mermaids. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Killer, but they're saying that. Take it like you want. But they said that they've actually seen them, caught them, and the United States government knows about them. So,
well, they probably, if there is, it came from the island out off of New York, where they do all those little, where they're finding all those wild-looking, weird-looking.
Weird-looking things.
Yeah.
Yes. Things that they create.
Exactly. Nobody can identify them, they're saying that's where Lyme disease came from, by the way.
Now, the Discovery Channel did a show, and it was What If Mermaids Existed?
All right.
And they went through all the stuff on why people thought that there were mermaids.
When we go conspiracy, we go far.
And then, and then, you know, they put down what a mermaid, you know, kind of what the physiology would be of a mermaid and stuff like that. They went into speculation if they existed.
Yeah.
And I think this was last year. They showed the pilot to a bunch of people before they aired it nationally. And a lot of people started calling the government and telling them to release the classified files about the mermaids.
My God. I think Kalkiller was one of them.
I was going to say, is that what Kalkiller was talking about?
Yeah, him and his wife were sitting back with something in their hand. A toddy.
Well, speaking of conspiracy.
Oh, is this Animal Planet? I thought it was Discovery Channel.
Animal Planet, huh? Well, I don't know anything about it. I don't have a clue. Sorry. Anyway, of course, I said earlier, and I don't think you were on the show yet, Bill O'Reilly, he's all for immigration now. And now the Democrats and the Gang of Eight have added $20 million, I think it's million dollars or billion dollars, to add, no, excuse me, adding 20,000 more Border Patrol and building 700 miles of fence. Again, we're going to build the fence. Again.
Yeah.
Of course, now, everybody is going to come through the gates, and the fence will never get built. And go ahead, Bob.
Let's be realistic. It doesn't matter if they build a fence or not. They either dig underneath it, cut through it, or jump over it. So that fence don't mean crap.
Well, you know, we got the technology, and we got everything we need to stop that crap, but it's never going to stop. It's just never going to stop.
And there's a senator now, and I believe it's a Republican senator, that popped some little things into this bill that basically says now that if you overstay your visa,
yeah,
that you know, the original law was if you overstayed your visas or anything to that, or work permits or anything like that, you would be put back on the other, taken back to Mexico, and you'd have to start the process all over. Well,
yeah.
He slipped into the deal about, well, now if you overstay your visa, you don't have to go back to Mexico. You don't have to get it to the end of the line. You're just automatically a United States citizen. So.
Well, I see. Well, that makes happy, you know.
So
they said wages, the CBO came out, wages will go down for the next 12 years till they stabilize.
Mm-hmm.
And what I don't, you know, I understand what they're trying to do, and both parties are doing it, and it's not anything more than the corporations. That's what they want. Big money people, that's what they want. And they jump through the freaking hoop. And there's some that don't. There's some that can't be bought off, but there are very few. And they keep using that 11 million. That's bullshit, and you know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's just plain bullshit. There's probably 11 million in California alone.
Well, you know, I've said before, and I don't know if it was on this show or, but I know, or was at work, but I've always said all along.
I think when you're on Rush Limbaugh.
the bottom line is the wages in America, the way that it's set up now and what people are making, unfortunately, is not going to be able to stay the way it can't continuously go up. That something was going to happen to the fact that to make the wages go down. Well, here you go. This is one of the ways. By bringing
wages go. I don't know when you've had a last raise. I hadn't had a raise in 10 years.
I haven't had one in four. Okay. And I understand what you're saying. But the bottom line is, I mean, let's look. Minimum wage, I don't know what minimum wage is anymore, but it's
well, I don't
you
know.
Can't live off of it. You can't live off of it. That's the bottom line.
But it wasn't meant to be lived on. It was meant for a kid to get into the workforce and learn. But when our government sells us all out and all our better jobs go overseas, all of a sudden these adults take these young people's jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, let's raise the minimum wage. Some want it up to $10 and I heard 25 cents, and which, you know, that's unheard of, but good Lord, these people that lost their jobs because their business or plan or whatever went overseas, they, you know, I can understand why they would want that. Absolutely.
Well, I understand it too, but the bottom line is this. You know, let's just say, and I'm just going to throw numbers out there, but let's just say for an example, I make $10 an hour, let's just say. Okay.
Right.
And I stay at the company for, I don't know, 30 years. And each year that I work for this company, I get a dollar raise a year. That's, like I said, again, just throwing out numbers.
Right.
And 40 years, I'm going to be making, if I started off at $10 an hour, in the next 30 years, I'm going to be making $40 an hour. We can't do that.
Well, you don't.
That's what's been going. That was
everything goes up, Bob. In 40 years,
I perfectly understand that.
Look
okay?
how much
you're right.
Going up since I started working, say 35 years ago at the truck plant, I could buy a gallon of gas for a buck or less.
Right.
And now look at it. Look at milk. Look at everything you buy. Look at cars. Look what's those damn things.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Everything does go up, but the reality of it is just that everything can't keep going up. Salary. I mean, when wages go up, let's just, you know, General Motors. And I'm not picking on nobody, I'm just saying. But if the average person is making $8 an hour, then feasibly the car should not be priced at $60,000 for a car. But
yeah.
They have to, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Wait,
because
yeah,
every time the wages go up, whatever you're producing has to go up too.
Hold on, Bob.
Those wages.
On a vehicle, the cost of that vehicle, you take, I'm just talking about General Motors, not any other plant. General Motors is 1% of that vehicle.
What I was going to say is any company that ends up saving money on payroll is not going to lower their price.
They never have.
They will keep
all right, but here's the problem. It's like you said, if I'm only making $6 an hour, there's no way in hell I'm going to afford that $60,000 truck. So who's going to buy the son of a bitch? Nobody.
Now, somebody's buying a damn thing, and I don't know who, but I'll tell you right now, but 1% of that vehicle, that $70,000, $60,000 truck from that's Chrysler and Ford, I don't know about the Honda, you know, I don't know about the other car factories. But 1%, 1% of our total wages are in that price. So you've got, and that's wages and benefits. That's wages and benefits. Now, you take what I make and how many trucks we put out an hour that go past me, I make way less than a dollar a truck. Way less. Now, you figure that. Now, that's how they figure things out, and plus your benefits, which has been chopped, and everything's been chopped. But you know, last week I signed my retirement papers.
Mm-hmm.
I told you when I did them. I called you and said, hey, I signed them. You're the first to know.
Right.
I unsigned them.
He did.
Okay.
I signed off on them Wednesday. And I don't know. I got cold feet. I don't know why. I just got cold feet.
And I understand that.
And I might send them again next month. But we'll see. But go ahead.
Okay, but see, the point I'm trying to make is this. Even though, let's just say that, that what you make is only 1% of whatever the car sale value is, okay? And you, and you're 100% right, okay? But the bottom line is the guy at the top of General Motors, the president,
right.
And the, all these, you know, sucking bastards are up there. And it ain't General Motors. It's all corporations. All right? I'm making buku bucks. But the like I said, the reality of this, the way that this system works is going to have to be broken because we can't continuously raise the price of everything to where people can't afford it anyway that's what's happening.
And
so
when it's,
something's going to have to break. And the first thing that's going to break, unfortunately, is the grunts at the very bottom, me and you.
It's always going to be that way.
And then, you're right, it's always going to be that way. But the bottom line to it is this. Like I said, when all the grunts aren't making but $8 an hour and they're still trying to sell their product, and I don't care what product it is, at a high dollar rate, $20 for a pound of hamburger or $60,000 for a car, whatever it may be, the bottom line is people ain't going to be able to afford it. So that's not going to be bought. So eventually this stuff is going to have to come back down, the reality. The price is going to have to come back down.
Yeah.
It doesn't do no good to make this stuff if nobody can buy it.
It depends on how you look at it. Now, when a CEO makes 200 times more than any other worker, your grunts, as you say.
Only in America.
Only in America. And if they fail... If they fail and they fire that CEO, he gets a parachute of $50, $60 million. And that's going to stop.
Only in America.
And that's going to stop. Because, like I say, when you can't afford this stuff, there's going to be no other choice but to bring the cost down to where people can afford it, to buy it, no matter what it is, and eventually... These people that are making, you know, and I said this 1,000 times, you're never going to take the money away from the rich. The rich, big wealthy people are always going to be wealthy. Okay? But these ones that are just below, you know, the just below them, let's just say, I'm telling you, all the wages, all of everything is going to have to come down. Because we cannot compete, America cannot compete with other countries that are paying people $2 an hour or $5 an hour or whatever it is in anything. So we're going to have to do that.
Well,
and unfortunately, the grunts are the ones that are going to take the bear of the kick in the balls at first.
Thing. Yeah.
Yes.
No, but
back to what I was trying to do this, by bringing in these illegals like they're trying to do, that's the start of what they're of that plan. Because you're bringing people over here from these illegals, that are coming over here. The majority of them are uneducated.
Right.
And I'm not saying they're dumb, they're just uneducated.
Because you're not
educated doesn't mean you're dumb. But you're a low man on the totem pole. So they're fixing to bring all these low men on the totem pole that will come to work and work for $7 or $8 an hour compared to these other people that are making $15 and $20, and they're going to take their jobs.
That's right.
Unless you're going to go down... And from this $15 an hour job back down to, you know, a suitable wage.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do.
Now, here's what Jeff Sessions says when he is in
the CBAO report is explicit. Under this legislation, if it were to pass, the wages of American workers will fall for the next 12 years. They will be lower than inflation rate. They will decline from the present unacceptably low rate, continue to decline for 12 years, according to this report. That alone should cause us to defeat this bill. We've been told it's going to create prosperity and growth, but what it's going to produce is more unemployment, as this report explicitly states. It's going to produce lower wages for Americans, as this report explicitly states, and it's going to increase the deficit. So I think we need to have an understanding here that something very serious is afoot. I'll just read some of the things that are in it. Quote, I'm on page 7 of the economic impact of S-744. Quote, S-744 would allow significantly more workers with low skills and with high skills to enter the United States. Taking into account all those flows of new immigrants, CBO and the joint tax expect that a greater number of immigrants with lower skills than with higher skills will be added to the workforce. In other words, of the group coming in, more will be lower skilled than high skilled, just as I have indicated and other commentators have indicated previously. Going on to say this, quotes, slightly pushing down the average wage of the labor force as a whole. But they go on to say this, get this, the next sentence. However, CBO and joint tax expect that currently unauthorized workers, illegal workers, in other words, who obtain legal status under 744, will see an increase in their wages. He goes on to say this, dramatically, I suggest. The average wage would be lower than under current law over the first dozen years. And it says, CBO estimates that it would increase unemployment for at least 7 years. So this is supposed to be good for the people we represent. And, of course, I would like to ask, again, our colleagues to think carefully about our duty here, who it is we represent in this body, and what kind of responsibilities we have to decent, hardworking Americans who experts have told us have seen their wages decline every year virtually since 1999. So this will add to the problem, what this report says, quite clearly, unequivocally. It's going to increase unemployment, and it's going to pull down wages. That is exactly the wrong thing that ought to be happening at this time. How in the world can we justify passing a bill that hammers the American working man and woman who's out trying to feed a family, get a job, that has a little retirement, a little health care, some money to be able to take care of the family, and hammer them with additional adverse economic impacts? I suggest to you this is not a report that in any way justifies advancing this legislation.
Okay, there's Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, and he's right.
And I can answer one of those questions he asked. Who are we supposed to be representing? I can tell you who these people are representing. The Soros of the bunch. Because that's the ones that grease their pockets.
That's right.
You know, that's the bottom. That's the true.
That's right. You got Cal Killer out there busting his ass trying to raise a family. He just finally got another job, and he makes $12. $12. Experienced as he is, he's as old as I am. He's making $12 an hour. He's not a kid. He's got experience. He's got, you know, you go through life, whether you go, you drop out of high school and you don't get a diploma, you learn. When you get our age, you know more than a damn high school graduate ever would. You learn, and you're dependable, and you, there's a whole host of things, and you get $12 an hour.
That's the way it's going to go.
What's that?
That's the way it's going to go.
Well, I know, and we're letting it go. You get John McCain and his butt buddy, Lindsey Graham. They're trying to do away with the First Amendment, Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment. It's just crazy. Everything's upside down. And did you see Obama's speech in Berlin?
I didn't see it, but I did hear about it.
5 years ago, what was it, 6 years ago? He had 200,000 people. They estimated the crowd this time 4,500 to 6,000.
They don't want to hear his bullshit no more.
No, they don't. He's done.
You know, because that's all he's put. People finally realize that this guy is
right.
Full of shit. It ain't even funny.
And everybody in the world believed in him. Everybody.
Sure. Because he talked a good game.
Oh, he talked. He was, and all this shit comes out. And by the way, later on, and I don't know what time, and I don't know if it'll happen, and I can't promise you it'll happen. But a guy that worked at the Pentagon is supposed to call in. Now I don't know if he will. He's a friend of mine's uncle. He's retired from the Pentagon, and I don't know. We'll have to see. And Mike, if you are listening on Real Player like normal, I hope you get your uncle to call in. And of course, after he has a few toddies, Mike said he likes to have a few toddies. He's here to visit, but he loves talking politics and he loves talking stuff at the Pentagon.
Okay, I was looking for the quote Obama had given about that we need to protect our whistleblowers because they're the only way when there's corruption in government for it to be brought to light. Do you remember that one?
I can't
find the exact quote on that one. But the other one they had, it was in 2007, and this was talking about when he was going to scale back the spying on Americans. And the quote was, "This administration also puts forward a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. I will provide our intelligence and law enforcement agencies with the tools they need to track and take out the terrorists without undermining our Constitution and our freedoms. That means no more illegal wiretapping of American citizens, no more national security letters to spy on citizens who are not suspected of a crime, no more tracking citizens who do nothing more than protest a misguided war. That is not who we are, and it is not what is necessary to defeat the terrorists. The FISA court works. The separation of powers works. Our Constitution works. We will, again, set an example to the world that the law is not subject to the whims of stubborn rulers and that justice is not arbitrary."
Now, going back to, 4,500 to 6,000 in Berlin. This is the G8, the G8 they had in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a tape of a lady I'll say like the Senate. I don't know what it's called when you over there, but check her out.
Claudia. Thanks, Kian Corla. Taoiseach, I think it's important to take this opportunity to bring a bit of balance into the discussions around the visit of the US President and his wife, given the almost unprecedented slobbering over them that the nation has been exposed to over the last number of days. And it's really hard to know which is worse, whether it's the outpourings of the Obamas themselves or the sycophantic fawning over them by sections of the media and the political establishment. We've had separate and special news bulletins by the state broadcaster to tell us what Michelle Obama and her daughters had for lunch in Dublin, but very little questioning of the fact that she was having lunch with Mr. Tax Exile himself. We had very little challenging of the fact that she's glad to be home, home a country that she's been in less than a week and that her husband has very tenuous links in. And of course, the biggest irony of all, the protestations of Obama himself in his speech to the children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal. He has just announced his decision to supply arms to the Syrian opposition, including the jihadists, fueling the destabilization of that region and continuing to undermine secularism and knockback conditions for women. This is the man who is in essence stalling the Geneva peace talks by trying to broker enhanced leverage for the Syrian opposition by giving them arms, and to hell with the thousands more who lose their lives or the tens of thousands more who will be displaced as this war goes on. This is the man who has facilitated a 200% increase in the use of drones, which have killed thousands of people, including hundreds of children. And you, Taoiseach, you are the one who's turned a blind eye on these activities. You've talked about the G8 being an opportunity to showcase Ireland. But is it not a reality that you have showcased us as a nation of pimps, prostituting ourselves in return for a pat on the head? To be honest with you, we were really speculating this morning whether you were going to deck the cabinet out in leprechaun hats decorated with a bit of stars and stripes to really mark abject humiliation here. So my question to you, Taoiseach, is as follows. What steps are you going to take to follow in the correct statements and the correct decision of your colleague Taoiseach Eamon Gilmore, who voted against the lifting of the arms embargo in relation to Syria? What steps are you going to take to ensure that no weapons for Syria are going to go through Shannon in breach of our international laws on neutrality? What steps are you going to take to showcase this country, not as a lapdog of US imperialism, but as an independent nation with an independent foreign policy, which takes the lead in international diplomacy to outlaw the use of drones, the favourite method of extermination of your friend, Mr. Obama?
On the T-shirt. Quiet, please.
Well, let me confirm to you, first of all, that the President was not inquiring about your whereabouts or your well-being. I think your comments are disgraceful. I think they do down the pride of Irish people all over the world, who are more than happy to see this island be a host to the G8, the leaders of the most industrialised nations in the world. And for you, Deputy Daly, to stand up here and criticise the American president for giving a continuation of support for a fragile peace process in Northern Ireland, where over 3,000 people lost their lives over 30 years, is a disgraceful do-down. And if you represent those people on the back, on the back line over there, if that's the kind of comment that you intend to make, well, then it's beneath you, actually. Even those of your predecessors in their brilliance never matched what you've just said here. Let me remind you that the communities in Northern Ireland and the politicians from administrations in this house here, of all governments, together with British governments, and Northern Ireland politicians and Northern Ireland communities have put together a very fragile peace. And far be it from you to come in here and criticise somebody who wants to support that process visibly, personally, and with assistance from the United States, where 35 million Irish Americans, Deputy Daly, want this peace process to continue. And the young lady, the young student who introduced the President in Belfast, put her finger on it very well when she said, the reality is that Northern Ireland has had a past And the reality is that Northern Ireland has a future. And that future, Deputy Daly, is one where peace in communities and across communities should abound. And it's beneath you to say that the American president should not be a party to keeping that process alive and visible. Insofar as the discussion on Syria is concerned, there was a serious discussion at the G8 summit with the members of the G8 themselves. I'm not sure whether you favour the Russian intervention here or whether you favour what the European Union put forward. While there was division among the countries in Europe about the lifting of the arms embargo, Ireland took a very clear position on this, which was articulated by the Tánaiste, that the embargo should not be lifted. But the conclusion of the G8 summit was that the Geneva peace talks should take place. Nobody wants to see wanton slaughter and the exodus of hundreds of thousands of people from Syria. And far from a warmongering discussion, the situation here is, what can you do to bring about discussions and negotiations that will restore, in the first instance, peace to this situation, and in the second instance, a structure that will allow Syria to continue in the time ahead without the obscenities and the humanitarian crisis that we've witnessed in the last 2 years.
Mark, Deputy Daly, 1 minute. Yeah. 1 minute, Deputy.
Thanks, John Corlett. Of course, I said nothing about the Northern Ireland peace process, a process which everybody supports, but it's not one that gives you a license to do whatever you like anywhere else around the globe. There isn't much peace in Iraq, where 26 people lost their lives yesterday. There isn't much peace in Afghanistan. There isn't much peace in Pakistan. And there certainly isn't much peace in Syria. And the side I'm on in Syria is the one, and what I agree with, is the statement by Oxfam, where Oxfam said, sending arms to the Syrian opposition won't create a level playing field. Instead, it further risks fueling an arms free-for-all, where the victims are the civilians of Syria. Our experience tells us that the crisis will only drag on for longer if arms are poured in. And that's in essence what the Americans have done here. I can only take from your non-answer to the question that you were asked, is that you're going to take no steps to ensure that those arms will not be sent through Shannon in breach of our neutrality. You said here last week no arms ever came through Shannon. How do you know that, seeing as no investigations take place? The reality is, in 2012, 548 US planes landed in Shannon. How do you know what was on them if you haven't examined them? Your Minister for Transport revealed in a parliamentary question that 239 civilian planes landed in Shannon, where they sought permission because they were carrying munitions of war or dangerous goods on a civilian aircraft. What steps are you going to take to intervene in this situation? And the last point I'll make is that people in this country are very fond of our American brothers and sisters. And I think we stand far more shoulder to shoulder with them by making valid criticisms of their president, who has broken his election promises, rather than just pimping this nation as a tax haven for their corporations. I'm sure the Americans would far prefer if their multinationals paid their taxes at home rather than offshore here, so they could develop their health care, so they wouldn't be wasting money on arms being sent to slaughter people in other countries.
Thank you, Deputy.
Amen.
Tell it like it is.
Tell you what. There's more, but she's got this guy down, and it's awesome. It's great, and there's a few more minutes, but we won't go into it. But, wow. I was proud of her.
Did you hear about Obama also referring to, I can't remember which minister, one of the government ministers of England, and he kept calling him the wrong name?
Yeah.
Called him four different times. The guy kept just getting redder and redder. You'd think that it would dawn on him that you're doing something wrong.
Right.
When you're praising the guy and he's getting, you know, he's looking mad.
Yeah, you tell him what a great job, you know, all kinds of things. And
he's starting to look annoyed. Wouldn't you think, oh, I'm doing something wrong?
could you get my name right if you're going to you know.
If you're going to talk about me, at least.
You moron.
The name, right?
Has anybody heard any more about the, and I don't even, I can't, I think it was Dubai, and I'm not, and I'm not sure. I'm just thinking it was that their embassy in Virginia. They had three. I think it was three women. I know two for sure. I think it was three. Came out and said they were kidnapped and kept there for a long time, and. You know, they got diplomatic immunity, these ambassadors, so nothing can be done with them. And they were raped. And I seen the story a week ago, probably two weeks ago, and I haven't seen it since. It, like, disappeared from the face of the earth. I don't know if anybody's caught that.
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one.
Well, I've been trying to find it. I know somewhere in my stack of crap that's laying around the cave, I've got it, and I will find it somewhere. But go ahead.
I do have an kind of an update on Benghazi, and this was published on. The 14th, so the beginning of the week, I saw it and favorited it. Martin Dempsey, the chairman joint chiefs of staff, conceded that highly trained special forces were stationed just a few hours away from Benghazi on the night of the attacks, but were not told to deploy. So instead of like the 8-hour thing
right.
that they were saying before that
right.
they would never get there in time.
Yes. They would have. All of them say that now.
Yeah.
All of them. But that's old news.
Yeah. And
that's
it's
forgotten news.
Unfortunately.
Well, he came. He said it. He said it in the investigation.
Yeah, they are interviewing
this,
a few
yeah,
of them
this week. He said, I know for a fact that the C-110 the name of the unit, was doing training exercises, not the region of North Africa, but in Europe. And they had the ability to act and respond.
They also had a drone overhead. That's where they could see everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And they finally came out and said, the FBI finally came out and said, yes, drones are in the United States and they are spying on American citizens.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, we didn't know that. We've been saying that, and every show I've listened to has said that.
But they're also saying this is another... in comments that may warrant further investigations, Dempsey stated that at a Senate hearing Wednesday that on the night of the attack, command of the special forces, the C-110, was transferred from the military's European command to the AFRICOM, or the United States African Command. So they were just the command itself was just transferred. The people
right.
weren't transferred.
Right.
So that was a cover up on why they were saying they were in where did they say they were at?
Well, it
were really in Croatia, but they were saying they were in Africa.
They could get there in plenty of time to do something.
Yeah.
And that's not the only group that was close by. Oh, and not, you know, I'm talking a couple hours close. So, all the bullshit that the administration, Hillary Clinton is like.
They were saying they were in Bosnia, and he later confirmed when he was asked directly, were they really training in Croatia and not Bosnia? He stated that, yes, they were still in Croatia. So that's another little thing that came out. But of course, you didn't see that on any news. I found it on one of my news sites, WND.
And so we're giving weapons to Al Qaeda. Where's the uproar?
Russia came right back out and said, you know, that they will give Syria weapons that the Middle East has not seen before.
Right. And so here we go. Then you're talking civil war. War, not civil war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another thing that's it's kind of flying under the radar, but in Indonesia, they've got the big fires going on.
Yeah.
And it's spreading the pollution and stuff like that. Well, Indonesia came out and said that they are going to seed the clouds and make it rain.
Gee, can they do that?
We'll see if they can do this and try and get this done, anything to help, because they can't.
They used to do that in Vietnam.
I know.
Everything into a mush for their supply lines.
So that was another one. I mean, they'll talk about it, but they don't state, oh, hey, by the way, weather modification.
they don't want to go that far now. Come on. We're just going to see if it works. Like, get one of those sticks and go around the yard and try to make it rain.
Yeah.
Or beat drums for 24 hours and see if it'll rain. We've been, Freedomizer Radio, this show, we all know what they can do.
Oh, man, the other day.
And I've been called, and I still get called, and by Dick Dangin from the UAW show, Mr. Conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy if it's true. And if you maybe stop looking so much into the UAW and General Motors and Ford and Chrysler, you just might learn something a little different and go, what the hell? But he knows a lot. He knows a lot of things in politics, but I think he thinks our show on Friday night is for nut jobs.
Well, you know, hey.
And so does a lot of people. But a gentleman I talked to about Agenda 21 brought in. You want to tap that table some more so I can't hear? He brought in a booklet on Agenda 21. Now, you go ahead, dear. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm getting the face.
Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
No, you're on Agenda 21. Continue.
No, he just brought in this right here. And he said, I looked into it. It's Understanding Sustainable Development Agenda 21, a guide for public officials. This is a guide for public officials. And he brought it in. He said, he said, I didn't believe it. He said, but he's burning DVDs right now. Yeah, that's the guy that has the uncle in the furniture business.
Well, they
the Pentagon.
And the biggest problem with the Agenda 21 is, on some of the places that I've looked, like one blogger stated, she said, you can read the stuff, she said, and a lot of it's great ideas and stuff like that, she said, but then you look at it a little deeper if you read the whole thing instead of just skimming through,
right,
and you get the first few sentences and go, oh, that's pretty good.
Well,
she said, then you start seeing the red flags pop up.
Oh, for God's sakes, they make it sound like, oh, bike paths and parks, and that's what they give them when they give the spiel. That's what they do. But they don't tell them the rest of the story.
Yeah. Now, the other day I was driving to an appointment in the morning, and I used to, I do talk on the phone when I'm driving. I used to do the road rage stuff, you know, just in the middle of a sentence and just stop and cuss at somebody and go back to my sentence. And I started doing that, but I was bitching at them, spraying the clouds. And I had it, mom's going, she's, she asked me, she said, what did that guy do? Because she's used to me. If
road
somebody
rage.
cuts me off or something. And yeah, I had to explain to her, no, I was bitching at the airplanes in the sky again.
Yeah, and it's so obvious.
Oh, there were six of them. There was two planes flying at the moment, just spraying big time, and there were still four other lines.
Oh, there you go. Okay, Bob, I know you had something to say, and I'm going to get Critic on since I'm in the Critic you're on.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to ask you, did you hear the story about that airplane that they were saying was it 888 or some crap like that? Remember the plane that the people swore up and down that they seen a missile hit?
Yes.
Did you see that report that came out?
Now they're saying a missile did hit it.
They were telling all these people that they were full of shit and they're conspiracy theorists and conspiracy and all this other bullshit. And the report came out to find it and said that a missile did hit that son of a bitch and took it down. But my question is, where did the missile come from? They still don't know the answer to that.
Oh, they probably already know where it came from, Bob, that they're not going to tell
us. Well, I think they know, too. But here's a question I want to ask. Do you think it came from our own military?
I wouldn't be surprised one bit. We've been known to do that.
Because there was somebody that was actually sitting out there, and they swore up and down that they seen a missile come out and hit it. And they said that he was full of shit. But that didn't happen. There was some kind of electrical wire problem in the engine room or some bullshit like that that they came up with.
Yeah.
That's what they said. Now, like I said, the actual report came out, and whoever this report came from said that, yes, there was a... They didn't say it was a missile. They said it was a... they called it something else. But basically, projectile?
Right.
I forgot what the hell they said.
Yeah.
But basically, something flying through the damn air hit the airplane. Okay?
Right.
With rocket jet fuel coming out the back, whatever. I don't know what the hell they said. But, that's just amazing that now all of a sudden... For that period of time, they were saying that guy was a nutcase and he was making up stories and shit. And come to find out, what he said he seen was actually what happened.
And that's pretty
and like
much.
I said,
go ahead.
And like I said, you just did too. They know where it came from. They're just not telling.
Well, that's like the Mike Hastings, the journalist from. I'll get it here.
Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone, thank you. That brought down Stanley McChrystal, General Stanley McChrystal.
He just joined somebody else, too.
Well, that's fine.
Okay.
I didn't know he joined something. I thought he was still at Rolling Stone and someplace else.
Doing
underground, undercover investigating. Well, anyway, he was going to... this other group he belonged to were doing, something to really blow up the CIA. Then all of a sudden, and according to news reports first that came out, the FBI was behind following him. But now they claim they weren't there at all. But anyway, apparently they say he was going at a high rate of speed, lost control, and hit a tree, which exploded the car, blew the engine out 100 feet away from the car, and people in the houses said they scared the hell out of them because it was like a bomb going off. Because the windows rattled, some things fell off the walls, and one gentleman stated that was followed or seen the accident, said that tree didn't kill that tree didn't do that damage. That his car was blown up. He said, "I thought it was a terrorist attack." And there you go. And of course, that hasn't been covered very much either. It definitely hasn't been covered on TV.
Well, one guy that was at the scene, he didn't say, you know, that. He said the guy blew past him. It might be a different guy. This guy was stating that that he saw the car blow past him at such an extreme rate of speed. He said that it was and was blowing through red lights. He said it was just crazy for anybody to be driving like that.
Right. Yeah. And this guy is young, and the way people are talking, it was a bomb. That was no way somebody just ran into a tree, even at a high rate of speed, that would, in a neighborhood, you could feel it, the repercussions of it. I don't know, but boy, that's all, you know, knowing our government.
Well, it's kind of funny that the FBI has to come out and say, no, we were not following him. No, we were not investigating him.
Right. Yeah, we're not in the CIA. We don't even know who he is. and the group they were going to expose a lot of things on the CIA. Sounds a little bit like Kennedy.
Is that what he was investigating at the time?
No. Kennedy said he was going to blow up the CIA.
Yeah.
Kennedy lost his head.
I meant the reporter.
He was investigating. They're about to come out with something on the CIA. So I don't know. If anything that happens like that to some reporter or an official that goes against the company line, and something mysteriously happens, makes me suspicious.
Red flag.
Yeah, false flag. Red flag and false flag. I don't. And why? You know, they all talk about, you know, back to immigration. Just for a second, they all want border security. Oh yes, we got to have it. Rubio is.
Except Boxer.
Pardon me?
Except Boxer.
Well, anyway, border security. But they all voted it down. The ones that said they want it voted down Vitter's proposal, voted down the man from Texas, and I can't think of his damn name right off the bat. I apologize.
Why did they vote it down, though?
Oh, border security. They don't want border security. Now, this phony bullshit that we had before with Bush administration, they're going to build this damn fence and all this other crap. Well, we're still waiting. What, 13 miles of fence was built? 7 miles? I can't even remember.
Yeah, now it's supposed to be 700.
Yeah, well, no, I know. They want to build now they're saying 700 miles of fence, and that's, I forgot what Bush's was. It was a large, many, many miles, maybe even more than 700, where I think they built 13, and they put, then, oh, we got a great idea, we're going to use these cameras. What the hell are these cameras going to do?
And the drones.
Yeah, drones. Drones are too busy watching us.
Yeah.
Us bad guys.
About Barbara Boxer, she wants the funding that's supposed to be for the border security to go pay for the health care for the new immigrants.
Oh, God. When are these people going to disappear? When are they going to say enough is enough? McCain, Lindsey, I can't believe Lindsey Graham even got voted back in.
People can wake up, because there was an article I was reading earlier this week in New Jersey. One of the towns was trying to do eminent domain, and it was a small town. And this guy had a development in downtown, and he wanted to redevelop this. And he kept applying to redevelop his property, and they wouldn't let him do it. And they tried to impose eminent domain and take his property and other people's property and say that they wanted to take it for redevelopment. So he took it to court, him and one of the other guys, and they took it all the way to the Supreme Court of the state, and the state said, no way, you can't do that. You know, you didn't prove blight, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, and the guy has already been trying to do it on his own. You know, this is false, and they got smacked down, and they got every single city councilman was voted out in the next election.
Really?
Every single one of them.
Good for them.
And a mayor.
All right.
And the sheriff got voted out because he was caught.
He was involved because he's got to serve it, right?
Well, no, he was caught up in a different scandal.
Whoa.
He was caught up in some kind of corruption scandal. They just got sick of it and voted every single one of them out.
Well, good for them. That's a great. That's
so
a great city.
I mean, there's hope.
In Maury County, Tennessee, which is home of Saturn and Columbia, Tennessee, and I've been there. I guess their drinking water smells foul and it's cloudy. And they had a meeting with the water, you know, head of the water department of Tennessee. And he says, if you make accusations on the water, you could be under Homeland Security charged with or looked at as a terrorist. Can you believe that?
No.
Now, he said that, and a person said, could you repeat that, please? And he did. That's in home. If you complain about your water, if you complain about your utilities,
you can
be considered a terrorist.
Now, did anybody call him out on that or start to do any?
Well, it was in the Tennessean. It's in the Tennessean, the big newspaper out of Nashville. So is that a scare tactic to scare the hell out of the public to shut your mouth, or you're gonna have a problem? You're gonna mess with Homeland Security.
My mom says she's already probably on a list. She admits it now.
She's what?
She's on a list.
Everybody we know is on a list.
When I joke with her about being on a list, she's going, "Oh yep," she said she does that now. Go ahead, mark another. Mark in my file. I'm on a list.
I guess a whole lot of Americans is on a list.
I know I'm on a list.
You're definitely on a list, critic. You've been on. You were probably the first one on a list.
Well, I'm thinking more specifically within the last half.
I'm sorry, critic. I can't hear you. What? Say that again.
I'm speaking really more specifically within the last year and a half.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And like I was down south of my dad's house, you know, I'm up here in bills and all that. So I'm going down there. They didn't call it a smart meter, though. They call it something else that they can read from the road. And or their you know, their office. I said, absolutely not. Hell no. You're not putting that there. No, thank you. We'll adjust it when I get back to Alabama next week. Good Lord, I don't want no part of it.
You going to Alabama next week?
Well,
yes,
not next week, but
it's summer in hell. We have to go.
Yeah, we got to go in July. I'm off a week, and I got to make sure, you know, the house, the yard, and my cousin is taking care of it. But I got to take care of have them come and read meters and things like that.
So you're going on the 4th of July weekend?
Yes, we'll be down there again for the 4th of July. We've been down there before.
Yep, every year.
Mm-hmm.
2 week shutdown. It's hotter than hell down there. We got to stick Yankee woman down in the south. When most normal people go in the winter. No.
Well, we're going to go in the hot part of this summer.
Yep.
Well,
Well, anyway, that's, I mean, we got to go. Simple as that. And we got business, you know, we got to take care of the...
Right, take care of business.
Yeah, we got to make sure, you know, the house is... You know, last time we went down there because my sister was sick, and there was, I don't know if lightning struck the tree, I don't know, there was a branch, I had to get a chainsaw and chop that damn thing up and cut another big-ass thing, bush out, and or tree, I don't know what the hell that thing was called. And I was told my aunt took all the poke salad. She took every bit of it.
Get that all cleaned out?
No, she took it home. She's eating that stuff. We're not down there. So she took all that damn poke salad that was growing underneath the tree. So we won't have any poke salad. But that's
the hell is that?
Huh?
What is that?
That's greens, brother.
Oh.
Wild.
Wild greens. And it's if it's done right, it's good. If it ain't done too right, it ain't so good. But
yeah, it'll make you sick if it's not done right.
You got to do it right, or you will get sick. And, well, we don't have to worry about that. She took all of it.
What song is that from?
That's Tony Joe White,
Poke
Salad Annie.
Yeah, okay. All righty.
Down in Louisiana. You don't remember. You remember the song.
Yeah. Now, Snowden.
Hold on. Now, before you say Snowden, Cow Killer asked a question.
Okay, I was in the chat room.
In the chat room earlier, is he a patriot or is he a traitor? Good question.
Verdict's still out on that one.
It just depends on, to me, I'm glad he did it because that woke up a lot of people and a lot of people are now pissed. But,
I tip my tin hat to you.
Yeah, we all tip our tin hat to you.
The newly awakened.
You know, if he's got some information that shouldn't, I mean, you know what kind of, you know, secret information that he shouldn't.
Like wiretap in China?
Yeah, China be well. I was thinking
traitor to what? I mean, it's ironic that he's safer over in China or Hong Kong, you know, an Asian country, than he would be in his own country right now. I mean, don't you?
No, I agree. I agree. And they filed charges tonight and sealed them.
Yep, for espionage.
For espionage, right. And that might have been the worst place for him to go would be Hong Kong, but hey.
I think he was looking at...
The best place to go is probably Hong Kong because, you know, they don't dance to Obama's song.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That and... That and it's an area that's... he's not going to have to worry about drones. And they have to be more formal in their, you know, they can't strong arm.
They're not going to strong arm anybody, especially Obama in Hong Kong.
Well, that's what I mean. American government's not going to strong arm them. You know, hey, give this guy up.
Yeah.
But according to this, there's a jet on standby to take him to Iceland. They're just waiting on the response from the government in Iceland on whether they're going to grant him asylum or not. And a businessman's got the jet on standby. Everything's ready to go.
The smartest country probably in the world is Iceland.
Yeah, they and once they grant him asylum, they'll pretty much want him to be a citizen after that.
And
I'm sure he's got buku stories to tell.
Well, I hope, you know, if he's got something that is national security stuff that shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't. But if he's only telling us that we're being spied on through our phone system that people didn't really believe.
Yeah.
Horizon,
well, I agree with that. Yeah. You know, but when he starts talking about how we, you know, got on the internet and started hacking China shit, and I mean, I think that's kind of going a little too far.
I don't know how a contractor would know that, but
well, from what I was seeing on there, there's a lot of contractors, and I forgot the amount, the numbers that they were throwing out there, because they were throwing so many numbers out on this interview, but it was something like 2.5 million contractors have clearance compared to some shit like 1.5 million non-contract. There was more clearance through the contractors than there was the actual people that worked for the government.
Well,
that kind of information,
you wouldn't hire.
Well, they admitted that they screwed up on it. That they give clearances to people that they shouldn't have gave clearances to.
But on hacking, we know China hacks us.
Well, yeah, we know that. And I, let's be real. We probably, most people know that our government's not got the cleanest nose in the business.
No, they
But that's
they
not the point. That's not the point. The point of that is that shouldn't have been, that had nothing to do. I just don't think he should have popped off at the mouth about that.
I agree.
Because
no, he probably
China's should've. Now coming back and saying to the United States, I think you owe us an explanation on this shit.
Well, yeah, they probably are, but they owe us an explanation, too, because they got busted, 3 weeks ago. So,
I'm not disagreeing with it.
I'm just,
he should have kept his mouth shut on that shit.
I agree.
I'm afraid, me personally, I'm afraid if he gets over there, like I said, in Iceland or whatever, and they give him immunity and all that, he's going to pop off a lot of shit. And I think he's going to pop off shit that shouldn't be told. And it's going to put, and I think it will end up putting people's life at risk, like the military. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the part that you know, when Cal Tiller asked, you know, is he a patriot or is he, the verdict is still out, because I have a feeling he's going to run his mouth too much.
To me, jury's still out, and if he just shuts up right now, he's already started a whirlwind of people being pissed at Google, Facebook, and everything we've talked about in the past that is spying on us, that people didn't believe. Now, now he put a face on it, and yeah. people are saying, what the hell? And your cable box is also looking at you, or your PS3, whatever the hell that is
you're talking about the
PlayStation.
No, Xbox.
Xbox.
And Microsoft came out and is going to change that now.
Yeah.
You're sure they are? Just like the new monster.
No, well, see.
They did come out with an actual story and say they were.
So basically what was going on with the new Xbox, this is what I got on this. With the new Xbox that come out with the, and Kyle's got one. It's called the Kinect. It's a system that you plug into the Xbox that you can actually do chats between friends and see each other.
Uh-huh.
The new system, but with Kyle's, I made him unplug it because you can unplug it and it doesn't work. Their system can't magically turn on when there's no power to it. Okay, with the new system that came out, that they were going to come out with, your system wouldn't work unless you plug that son of a bitch in. So when this all came about and was told that this thing can be turned on and they can see and all this, people threw a fit. Now Xbox is coming back and saying, okay, we're going to redo the system. The system will work without the Kinect.
And
but that's like, only after they got caught.
Well, it's like what Petraeus said at the Wired convention. He said your dishwasher is going to spy on you. Everything in your house will be able to spy on you if it's a new. If you buy it new. So this whole, what the hell's going on around here?
The reality of it is, and everybody's finding out, is our government is just as fucking corrupted as what we need to bitch about Russia or China. Our government ain't no goddamn better. It got caught. Now the question is it going to change? I don't think so. Will it slow down a little bit? Yes.
No.
Because this. Well, I say yes, because this is going to actually hurt. Let's be real. The majority of this shit that they're capable of doing and looking at stuff is through other companies like Microsoft and stuff like that, Facebook. And when people stop using that shit, then it is going to slow it down. They're going to find another way. But
how
it's
you
slow it down
now. Them Microsoft when they're on every computer. When you turn the damn thing on.
Well, it's like Google. Well, go to a Mac.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Go to an Apple.
Yeah, go to an Apple.
Will you buy me one?
Yeah.
Well, you got a raise 4 years ago. I didn't.
Well, I didn't. I'm sorry. I can't afford one either, but if it comes to the point, it's going to be between... The government turning shit on my computer in my room or whatever, because that's where I got one computer or anything like that, then I'll find a way to buy one. You know what I'm saying? I'll get off of this bullshit.
Yeah, but when is Apple going to be corrupted if they're not already?
It falls into, with people kick the system out, Google off. You stop using Google as your main search shit that tracks everything, and then sends it to the government. And you use an alternative one. That Google's going to go under. They're not going to be able to exist.
Well, I mean,
but slow it down. It's not going to stop it, because then you're right. The government's going to go to somebody else and say, "Hey, we're going to slip you $5 trillion or whatever, $1 billion, whatever they want the amount is, if you sell us this," and they'll do it. But like I said, they'll slow it down.
Well, they're
going to stop it.
What's that, critic?
I said they'll exist because they're funded by the government, much like MSNBC. And that's a company that should go away because nobody is watching that. Nobody is watching Mr. Maddow and all those people, but they're still around.
Well, the government is subsidizing them.
They're subsidizing that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying that Google is not going to go away.
No, Google isn't going to go away.
Well, Google,
Microsoft, none of them were going to go away.
Google was the one that was fighting them in court. And the judge, a federal judge, had to tell them that they had to comply.
Had to comply, yeah. They were forced to.
We got corrupt judges. We got corrupt everything.
Oh. Well, the judges, it's all politics. It's all politics anymore. Those judges don't shit about you people. It's all about politics.
Yeah, but they're going to be lunatic when they find out that they were spied on, too.
Maybe. Oh, no, I'm sure. No. Just like these congressmen and senators, when they find out that it was their phone lines that were tapped into and they were listening to their conversations, and that fucking idiot you get for president comes up there and says, well, we did it because we were thinking there was leaks and we wanted to find out where the leaks were. That's what, right. I mean, that's what they're saying. And they're going to say, bullshit. You just, you know, it's become political. You did it only to the Republicans. I didn't see you do it to none of the fucking Democrats. How do you know none of this shit? And let's be real. Pelosi and all them got the biggest fucking mouth in the world, too.
And don't forget, you know, Bush probably did it to the Democrats.
Well,
and
Republicans. Probably did. But still, you know, and that's a, you know, I'm tired of that bullshit, too. Because I don't give a damn if it was Bush or Clinton or, you know, whoever in hell. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't give a shit who it is.
Yes, dear.
I like how Cheney was all outraged that... I can't believe this president is going to spy on the American public. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, are you out of your mind?
I was waiting for the bolt of lightning to hit him in the ass.
Right between the fucking eyes, huh?
Let's take a fast break so I can get some coffee, and we'll be right back.
I used to know a girl lived down there, and she'd go out in the evenings and pick her a mess of it, cat home and cook it for supper. And if she had any left over, she'd dry it out and smoke it. But she did all right. Now down in Louisiana, where the alligators grow so mean, I lived a girl that I swam through the world. Made the alligator look tame. Oh, Sally Danny. Oh, Sally Danny. Everybody said it was a shame. Cause her mama was a wicked on a chain. Mean vicious woman. Every day for supper time, she'd go down by the truck and pick her mess of poop salad and carry it home in a toast salad. Toast salad, Annie. The potatoes got your granny. The body said it was a shame. Cause my mama was working on a train. A wretched, spiteful, straight razor toe. Now give me some of
Tory Joe White, 1970. Yeah, he had a bad back, all right. I hope my Aunt Catherine didn't get one picking all that poke salad. Anyway, we're back, and You know, Forever Green, they kind of sponsor the shows and things like that, and they're good friends of ours. The grandson, 20 months old, has cancer. And they're doing a 2020 raffle, and in the plant, if you work at Plant Truck and Bus, where I work in Flint, Paul's selling tickets, and the family really needs help because hotel bills, because they're not in Flint. I mean, they have to go to Children's Hospital and stay in motels and everything. And the family, the mom and dad doesn't have a lot of money. And so if you could find it in your heart to go and buy a couple of those tickets, drawings at the end of July. And he just got back from the hospital. They took what they could, you know, there was an 80% chance he's going to be okay. So they operated on his neck. And so he was running around the other, you know, 2 days ago. And, like, nothing's wrong. But he still has chemo to go through and all kinds of things. So 50-50 raffle. And Sonny and I bought a lot of tickets and put it in his name. So if we win, he wins all of it. So I hope... you don't have to do that. I'm not telling people to do that. I'm just saying that's what we did. Because the family is, you know, not as fortunate as we are. So check him out on Chassis One. His name is Paul Jones. And he's got a roll of tickets. And he'd be glad to sell you some. Okay. There you go. I'm done.
All righty.
And we bought a lot of them. The little guy's going to win.
No doubt.
Damn right. By God.
I remember you at the football games.
Hell, it's for a good cause.
You have to ask yourself, why are these cancers so off the chart? Well, I mean, it's rhetorical. I mean, you know why they're off the chart. But, I mean,
I know.
I mean, yeah. You didn't see this stuff 30, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. I mean, that was a rarity. Now it's, you know, it's normal.
It's a rarity if you don't. And children getting cancer, I forgot what I read. Like 800% more. It's just incredible. And they're finding things about this milk that you buy at the store, baby milk. And, well, I don't know what it's called. I don't want to say the names.
Formula.
Thank you. It's got things in there that shouldn't be in there. And what the parents have to eat. And to me, it all goes together. It all goes, the spraying, the GMOs, every damn thing. It's like you're in for a slow death. Now, I don't know if that's for sure. You know, I don't know. That's my opinion. Only my conspiracy. But that's the only thing I think of. The bees are disappearing. You got to have bees, but nobody seems concerned. How about when the birds are flying, falling out of the sky a few years ago here in Michigan and all over in other states? And
it was in Alabama. The fish die off.
They're doing that again now this year. I see a lot of birds down here dying off, falling out of the sky, landing in the streets and my yard, that's starting to pick up again this year. I've seen, I think, like 3 or 4 of them this
now,
year.
They just, earlier this week, they just had a bee die off. And what happened was a company that was managing property, you know, like the landscaping property for a Target store, went in and decided to spray the linden trees. Now, linden trees are a flowering tree. You're not supposed to spray pesticides on flowering trees while they're flowering because of the bees. You'll get the bees also. And they sprayed all the linden trees with, I'm assuming it's kind of Roundup, but it's called...
of course, it's from Monsanto. You can
yeah, it's one of the neopeptide insect killers, the ones that go ahead and attack their nervous system. And they killed like 25,000 bumblebees.
That they know of.
And when the one person went out there, a plant programs director from the state's agricultural department went to see what was going on. He said he'd never seen anything before like that. He said there was, as they were there was more bees showing up and dying. Now they're saying that, you know, these people just sprayed it at the wrong time. And they're going to, you know, they're going to find out what happened, and if violations are found, that the agricultural department will give them civil penalties ranging from a standard maximum of $1,000 per violation to a maximum $10,000 per violation for gross negligence or willful misconduct.
Jeez, that will hurt Monsanto.
No, it's just gonna. It's gonna.
No, it won't hurt them. I'm kidding.
I know, but the biggest thing is it's the landscaping company that did it at the wrong time.
And yeah, how about the fish in Alabama washing up, thousands dead, birds falling out of the sky at the same time, all in different states.
Oh, I know that was. That was.
And Bob says it's happening now in Texas.
Now what they were saying, and this is another thing that the two kind of go together. Last year they were saying, like with the birds, that there was some kind of they were messing with the magnetics, the geomagnetics, because that would cause the birds
to harp.
Yeah, that would cause the birds to, like, freak out at the wrong times, and that would mess up their, you know, their...
navigational skills?
Yep, and all of that.
Where they just crash or ground dead?
And they would, you know, well, yeah, they start crashing into
sort of
each
like
other.
The Bermuda Triangle thing, huh?
But they're also saying that with a lot of those superstorms, those super tornadoes and the supercells thunderstorms that are coming over...
Right.
...that they have a super high... geomagnetic quality to them. It's kind of off the range on it.
Well, the more we mess with Mother Nature, the more Mother Nature messes with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't see how people don't see that everything's connected in one way or another. It's not called a food chain for nothing.
No, but they're messing with it because they want to control all the food, all the water, all the petroleum, and there you go. When you got it all, you got it all. You got us, right?
Yeah.
They want to control our weapons. They want to take them. So they can't take them right now, so they're taking the ammunition to protect yourself. How about the guy that locked two kids, I really don't know how old they were, in a closet after he found them in his house, and they destroyed his house. They vandalized the hell out of his house. He put them in a closet. Instead of them getting arrested, he got arrested. I don't know if it was child abuse. I don't know what the hell. You know, I went back and I completely slipped my mind on the story, but what the hell is that about? You can go in a man's house, destroy it, and you go to jail. It's like the guy that in England broke into his house, and he lives way out in the country on a farm. He shot one of them, and he went to prison because he's not supposed to have a gun. In Chicago, look at what's going on in Chicago. They're talking about record year of murders in Chicago already, and it's June. And it's like Mr. Mayor's lost control of Chicago is what happened. Old Rahm, he screwed up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. I'm just looking for the one article that I was when we were talking about, you know, messing with the weather and messing with the food and stuff that. There's a guy that used to work in the GMO field. He didn't work for Monsanto. He worked for a university in Canada.
Yes.
And after he retired, he went organic. And he said,
he did, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, some of the stuff that he was researching.
He was a top scientist, by the way.
Yeah.
In Monsanto.
No, I don't know if he worked for Monsanto. He worked for a university in Canada.
He did, too. I mean, I know. But
I'm just trying to say, in the article that I read,
okay,
when they were talking to him directly, he didn't say he worked for Monsanto.
All right. Okay. I got you.
Anyway, he brought out a part of the argument that kind of makes a lot more sense if you think about it, besides, you know, eating a plant that if a bug eats it, it dies. You know, you eat it, you wouldn't. Why do you think you wouldn't die?
Right.
Or any of the tumor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said that when you modify DNA, when you take a certain genome out and you put it in somewhere else, there's all sorts of proteins in this genome.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug it in somewhere else to activate a certain protein in this genome. But the other proteins in there, you don't know what they do. And he's saying that most of the scientists are calling them background noise, as long as they get the good protein to do what they want it to do. And he said, but what if one of those other proteins that they're calling background noise and they're not paying attention to actually turns a plant toxic? He said, because that's all that makes one plant poisonous to eat compared to another plant, is just one protein along that line. And he said they don't look into that and they don't research that enough. And that started causing him to rethink what he was doing and what he had been teaching. So that's something to think about if you think I'm just a crazy nut on the GMO stuff.
Well, you are.
It's not
true.
And he also stated, he said there's no need to. GMO plants don't proliferate more. They don't increase yield.
Right.
Than a regular seed. There's no higher yield. Yeah, some of them are a little more drought tolerant, he said, but you can do that by just regular crossbreeding.
Right.
Which is what we used to do to create new plants, was crossbreed them, and you get a different kind of corn, or you get a different kind of tomato. You crossbreed two tomatoes. So he's stating that there's really absolutely no reason for it, and he's also stating that it's making the plant antibiotic resistant, which in turn would make us antibiotic resistant more than what's with the antibiotics being in the food.
Well, in water.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. In Tennessee, they found it in water.
In the meat. Yeah. And so now it's going to be in the plants also. Because they're finding antibiotics in the plants. Because they're, you know, they end up producing their own. So, you know, if you keep, it's just something else to think about.
Let's pass it on. Yeah, it is. And people don't want to think about it, though, unfortunately.
No, and an eggplant, actually, oh, that was the other one. I can't find that article either. I think it's down by Brazil. It's one of the South American countries, mm-hmm. you know, where they're not real thrilled with GMOs to begin with. They were testing out a GMO eggplant. And the eggplant came up poisonous.
Really?
So, yep. They canceled all testing of the eggplant. And I'm sure, you know,
that's
Monsanto's
all you need
not,
to know, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Monsanto's not going to come out and go, oh, hey, we had a little fail.
It wasn't Brazil because they're raising all kinds of hell on Monsanto. They got balls.
But what I'm saying is it was one of the countries down by there that...
All right. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. And I found that article earlier this week, too.
All right, Bob.
What?
What do you got, buddy? We got 5 minutes. Speak up. Cow Killer, you can call in, buddy. You would like to, because we sure would like to hear from you.
I did find a goofy news story.
I know. I don't hardly answer my phone. And I got to call the killer. But I got a new phone, which drops numbers and drops calls. I had to call my sister 5 times. It just, I don't know. Bob got
it's
me
gotta
in.
It's got to be your reception where you live.
It might be, but it happens everywhere I'm at. It just, pow, goes dead. I don't know what the hell the problem is. And numbers and...
All I know is you pissed me off.
Well, I pissed you off.
Yeah.
Well, do tell.
You're up in Alabama.
Why am I pissing you off for that?
Because I was going to be 6 hours from where you live, bitch.
And where are you going to be?
I won't be up in Illinois.
You are?
Yeah, the same fucking week you're leaving.
Oh,
man.
I've been holding it all fucking show. I finally let it out.
Hold on for a second. Where at in Illinois?
I'm going to Decatur.
Decatur, Illinois. Okay. Yeah. I've been to Decatur.
I'm going to Kansas. For the 4th of July weekend, and then I promised my aunt I would sling it because it's about 6 hours from Decatur.
Yeah, it's real close.
Decatur, right. So I'm swinging over there and spend the day, and I was just looking at work the other day. I said, well, how far is it from Decatur to where Donnie lives out by? And it's 6 fucking hours. 6 hours! Yeah! And your bitch ass is going to Alabama!
Oh, hold on. Hold on just for a second. When are you leaving?
The second?
The second. That would be what, Tuesday?
Yeah, I'm leaving Tuesday.
You're leaving Tuesday.
But I gotta be in Kansas for that weekend. And I was going to go to Decatur on Monday.
We got 90 seconds, so anybody wants to call in, please do. And there's nobody but the Cow Killer in the chat room, so... He's the only one I'm talking to. Cow Killer, I'm glad you made it back, and it's always been, you've been one of the best, I'll tell you that, buddy. You take care of yourself, get to bed, and what'd you say? And congratulations on your job. You're the man. Keep swinging, buddy. I know it's tough, but keep swinging. And believe me, if you call me, I'll try to, if it comes through, I'll get it. If, you know, just call me. I'd love to talk to you. And I got some questions, too, as a matter of fact.
Or text. He does text now.
Well, I don't know how to freaking text. But, I mean, I'll text if I have to. I mean, if you got an hour and a half. But give me a call if you can. And if I don't pick up, it's because the phone didn't ring and it didn't vibrate. Just let me know when's a good time to call you. I will call you. Because I got, there might be some job openings at General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler are supposed to be hiring. So, keeping you in the loop here. And since I know people at Ford, I don't know anybody at Chrysler, but my other friend does. So I'll see what we can do. I just want to talk to you about it. Let you know what's going on. So give me a call. And we're done. Take care, critic, my man. Or not critic, but cow killer. All right. You got to be there for the weekend. You leave in a second, so you'll get there, what, Wednesday?
Huh?
You'll be there too.
Yeah, we don't know if we're leaving the second or the third. One of those 2 days.
Well, when
I
they have
I think more or less the third, and then I got to be up there. Huh?
When are you going to be in Illinois?
Well, I wanted to go. Well, I'm going to tell you what my plan was. My plan was to spend be there on the weekend, the 4th of July weekend in Kansas, then go to Illinois on Monday.
Well, Monday.
I'll be here on Monday. I thought you were leaving.
No, we'll be back in Michigan on.
We'll be back in Michigan
on the 8th.
On the 8th. If you're going to be.
I thought you were leaving. Leaving next week.
I screwed up.
Yeah, you told me you were. Leaving on the 4th
of July weekend. Exactly. I screwed up.
Damn. I was actually thinking about this. Because like I said, where I'm going to be is only like 7 hours from Flint.
Yeah, we can meet you halfway.
Buddy, I'll
meet you. I don't like the idea of going up there by Chicago, but, you got to do what you got to do.
That's true. I would hate you to drive through Chicago.
Well, I don't. You go to Joliet, then you take 94 and take straight up into Flint.
Well, it takes you right into Detroit area, and then you change over to 75, and then.
Well, I just see 94. You take 94, and then you hook a left right on the other side of Kalamazoo.
Oh. You already looked in?
Fuck yeah, I've been looking into it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be here, buddy.
I found out I was going to be up there.
Yeah, we'll meet you or whatever you need. Or if not, come on, if you want to just come over here, spend the night.
Well, I don't know about that shit, but,
Well, I don't either. I don't know if I can stand you all freaking day and night.
But, like I said, I saw Flint and all that. I said, I wonder if I can talk my wife into going there. She doesn't know this yet, but I'm trying to talk her into it.
Uh-oh.
This is Bob making plans without everybody else.
Oh my God, that should be interesting. I might be able to take a vacation day some point there, and we can meet.
We're going to do the show Friday and that Friday, so I'll try to squeeze it in, just talking her into it on Friday.
Tell Miss Peggy she needs to meet me anyway.
That's what I thought.
She needs to meet Cindy, and you can see the cave. We can play in the cave.
Okay.
I still got your box, by the way.
My what?
Your box.
No, I mean, no, she's right here.
No, no,
I'm her.
Yeah. You know, I talked about the box that I need to send to you, right? Well, I got.
Yeah.
I went to the.
Oh, that you're as good as bear.
Well, no. Well, wait a minute. Let me explain. Okay.
Yep. Go. We got.
So I get this box, right? And they tell me, they said this box is going to cost you this much to ship. But I said, okay. So I take it home and I fill up my box, right? And then I take it up there, and the people, they said, well, do you know this is going to cost? I think it was like.
Bob, you're breaking up, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you hear me better now?
Yeah.
Okay. So I take my box up there, and the guy lifts up the box. He says, this box is kind of light. I said, well, this is what I'm sending. He says, well, you know what's going to cost you? And I forgot what he said. To send it. And I said, okay. He says, well, you know that these boxes is whatever you can fit in the box is what this price is. I said, well, shit, let me have my box back. I got to go find some more shit to put in it. So I got my box almost full because I'm a Jew bastard. And I'm going to fill this motherfucker up with shit because the fucking UPS, I've been supporting, I mean, not UPS, but what is it? Partial Post. I've been supporting these motherfuckers losing money for 20 years now. I ain't giving them nothing for cheap. How much it was, goddamn it.
My God.
So I'll have this box filled by the next week. And then it'll be on its way. Oh, I'm going to get my fucking $20 worth. That's what it was, like $15 or some shit. Or whatever it was. But I'm going to get my fucking money's worth when I send it up there. That bitch is going to be popping at the seams.
I'm just picturing you stuffing rocks in there. Just cause.
I'll stick something in that bitch because I ain't sending it. You know?
My God.
And I got more room, so I got to fill up that room. But I got it. I do got it all packed up. I just need to fill it some more.
Jesus. Go to that pig farm and buy me a T-shirt.
Pig farm?
The one that was doing the races.
Oh, the one I never could find.
Oh, yeah. In your town that you never can find. But I, you know.
I actually thought about Aggie shirt and a Longhorn shirt and hat so I can convert you folks.
It ain't going to happen.
I
have to stick to an Alabama hat and an Alabama shirt and try to convert your ass.
Oh, you get that shit when you're in Alabama. You can get those down here, matter of fact. But that's
well, you need to get one then.
No, because you can get that shit when you're in Alabama.
Be a winner.
I'm trying to find what you ain't going to get.
Well, hold on.
I
found something. I found what I was looking for. Let me just get this out. The USDA organic label is supposed to protect the consumer against GMOs and affordable chemical exposures, but the sobering fact is the USDA certified infant formula manufacturers are not only being allowed to use pesticides in their formulas, but are advertising it as healthy minerals to unsuspecting consumers. And that's what I found my article. And
woohoo, after the show was over.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I'll save it. Hopefully I'll remember next week to say something about it. But that might have something to do with all these young children getting sick.
Well, I personally, I think a lot of it, and this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
The fight about, you know, the foods we're eating and shit, that's actually fucking up the adults. That it's actually being given to these kids at birth. That's what I think.
Very much could be. Very, very true.
You know, that's just what I think. We always talk about how these kids mature faster than because of this shit that they're putting in these few foods now. So I'm thinking when it comes to these little kids, it's actually coming, unfortunately, from their parents because of the shit we're eating. And, you know, it's developing these problems we'll have children.
No, you're right about that. Now, to move on from that, have you heard what they're doing in Australia?
Tell me.
They're collecting data, right?
Uh-huh.
I'll let this guy tell you.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics serves a very useful purpose, but the way it collects information has upset some Brisbane residents. They're shocked at the questions being asked, but what happens when they refuse to answer is unbelievable. Lisa Goddard has more.
It is a huge intrusion. I feel violated.
In a democratic society, it's completely outrageous. One knock on your door.
How can I help you?
And your private life is government property.
They can ask me anything they want. There's no limit.
But Chris Leroy says this time the Australian Bureau of Statistics has picked the wrong guy. Chris says he'll go to jail rather than answer intrusive questions about his sex life and when or if his partner will be home alone.
And I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit here and be bullied into giving information when it just doesn't seem right.
Chris was minding his own business at home on a Saturday when an ABS field officer landed on his doorstep, telling him he'd been randomly selected for an 8-month-long survey.
He said, well, basically, if I don't answer those questions now, that I'd be summarily charged by the Australian statistician. I'd be brought before the federal court, and if found guilty, I'll actually be going to jail.
Worried he was being conned, he hit the internet, only to learn he's far from alone.
So, Chris, there's been a lot of comment on this online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Give me some examples.
Well, we had one gentleman who actually said he'd been through the same experience, and he had actually written, we had the field officer repeatedly ask us for details of my wife's sex life and past relationships. We too were threatened with both criminal charges and court action.
People should not be compelled or coerced, let alone threatened or fined for not complying with what's supposed to be a random survey. Former Senator Tasha Stott-Despoja knows it happens. It happened to her mum. My mum's case was incredibly rare that she was successful and that they left her alone. Shirley Stott-Despoja took the ABS on in court after she refused to answer questions about smoking as part of a 7-month survey. She won, but only on a technicality. I don't rate the average person's chance of beating the ABS. And I think any institution in this day and age that relies on coercion or threats is not only outdated, it's outrageous. To persecute people on those issues seems extraordinarily undemocratic. And extraordinarily costly. Every day that goes by that you don't answer their questions, you could be fined $170. Last financial year, the ABS took action against nearly 1,500 Australians. 94 cases were referred to the Director of Public Prosecutions. The frightening part about all of this is none of us are safe. The ABS selects 350,000 homes and businesses each year. And if you're targeted, the only subject you can legally refuse to answer questions on is religion. When Natasha Stott-Despoja's mother's case hit the headlines, politicians tried and failed to change the law. I understand the value of statistics. I also understand the importance of random selection for surveys. But where there are people who feel uncomfortable, philosophically or otherwise, please leave them alone.
I'm an Australian citizen. I'm a shareholder in this country. This isn't right. We've got to change this. We've got to protect our people.
Chris now lives waiting for the next unwelcome knock on his door.
I'm waiting for the letter to say, okay, well, we're going to charge you and we're going to take you to the next level. Because there's no way I'm answering those questions.
Now, can you believe that? They're asking your past sex life of your partner, your sex life, your past sex life, and if you don't answer, you can go to jail. That is incredible.
What happens if you...
You know what I would tell them? Sit down. This is going to be about 6 hours because I got to go through a list.
I was going to say, what happens if you, well, I don't remember the bitch's name.
It was in the back seat of a car. Yeah. I can tell you the car, but I can't tell you her.
It was, I was having a lot of buds that night.
Jesus Christ. Now, what good does that do the government to ask that kind of question?
Well, why don't you ask our United States government? Because they're getting just as intrusive as they are.
Well, you read me off of what the hell you had to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
what I was supposed to fill out.
Well, you did.
No, I never did that shit.
No, you're right. You didn't, and I forgot about that.
Yeah, but our government's doing the same shit.
Exactly. It, so far, they've left our sex lives alone because now they can just see what we're doing in bed. And before I forget, the Bilderberg was a couple of weeks ago. And a British Treasury admits Chancellor held discussions in a official capacity. So, and for them to say, oh, this is nothing official, nothing official about it. Well, they're coming out and saying, yeah, he went there for official business. So, of course, when that happens, that means the taxpayer over there has to pay for it.
Yeah.
So I just I wanted to get that out too after the show. Of course. Oh well, what the hell?
What was this? And I don't know if you knew about it or not, but Obama went somewhere, and of course stuck his foot in his mouth again, like always. But it had to do with religion. Do you know what the hell he popped off at the mouth?
Yeah. Religious schools. Catholic schools.
He was calling for the end of peace.
Yeah, he was saying they need to be done with and over with because they're. What was that? They start. They teach the wrong things, and
pretty much what he was saying was brainwashing. But
yeah, they're doing it, so the government can't. Yeah, you're right, Bob. I forgot all about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, he did, and there was a priest that came out and told Pelosi, you need to denounce your religion and quit saying you're a Catholic or start following the Catholic rule as you say you're a devout Catholic.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a response yet from her. But,
because there
yeah.
was none.
Well, no, I was telling you, somebody that actually went to Catholic school for 4 years, there's good and there's bad in that. But I will tell you that they do heavily practice proselytizing in that school.
Oh, I would assume so.
Well, yeah, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. But I don't think the President of the United States, if I'm hearing you right, I don't think the President of the United States should even get himself involved in.
Yeah, in the religion. You know, he's supposed to be bipartisan. Well, he's supposed to be neutral on, you know.
That's never stopped him before.
Well,
no.
I don't disagree,
no.
But I'm just saying
it doesn't
that's
make
what
it right.
supposed to be. No, we can all agree that he, you know, was all into that rough and right bullshit. You know, and that's okay, but.
Well,
know,
did you see, speaking of Reverend Wright, did you see Bill Ayers' comment? I've got the tape somewhere where he said Obama's a war criminal.
Yeah.
And let me see if I can find that. It's not long at all. He's doing the same thing the other presidents did. And they're all war criminals. And here it is right here. He says he's a terrorist. And of course, you didn't see that too many places, I'm sure. Oh, excuse me. The Bill Ayers video is no longer available due to copyright claims by Rolling Stone Productions. Anyway, Bill Ayers, whether underground, as we know, domestic terrorist and a professor. Yeah, they asked him, what grade would you give Obama? And he said, a failing grade. I don't at all feel that Obama has let anybody down, although the 2008 campaign, all through the 2008 campaign, he consistently, I'm a middle of the road pragmatic politician. With all due respect, you hold Johnson with disdain. You hold Bush and Nixon with disdain. But isn't Barack Obama, this is the question to him, as sole authority for drone use, engaged in terrorist activity? Absolutely, absolutely, Ayers said. And another question, do you think Barack Obama should be put to trial for war crimes? Absolutely, Ayers responded. Every president in this century should be put on trial, every one of them. In the Hague, is the question? Absolutely. Every one of them goes into office, an office dripping with blood, and then adds to it. And yes, I think that these are war crimes. I think they're acts of terror. And that's Bill Ayers. So that's a little different, a little surprising, actually.
Then what? Because he was a supporter before.
Well, yeah, he wrote his book.
I know.
He said I wrote the book. Obama really didn't have anything to do with it. He said I wrote it. He said that many times. But it's just surprising he's coming out. But he wouldn't say that before the 2012 election. But I haven't heard it on any news station, so I don't know if it's no news or what.
Yeah, that's kind of he's one of those outside kooks. They're not going to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, they do. They pay attention to him only when MSNBC will pay attention to him when he says something really positive about Obama.
That was the rest of my sentence.
Only
when it fits in their agenda.
I'm going to catch hell for interrupting.
No.
Well, I didn't even hear it on Fox, and it might have been on Fox. I don't know. I don't.
I don't either.
Bob, you watch. Did you see that tape anywhere?
No, I haven't seen it. Now, who's the guy from MSN that went to Fox?
Let me think of his name. From CNN, right?
It was a CNN, yeah. You might be right.
Oh, everybody knows his name, and I just... all but me. Hang on. What's that?
Why did he bail? Do you know?
No, I don't know why he bailed, but...
I just happened to catch it.
I know a critic would know his name, too.
I have no idea what you're talking about unless you're talking about Luke Dobbs.
No, this is a guy, I guess he was pretty damn popular at CNN. Bolted from CNN and went and signed with Fox.
I don't watch any of them, so I don't know.
Well, I don't either. But I know this guy. I know his name, but I can't think of who in the hell it was. Well, I'll find her somewhere, because I know I knew somebody was going to ask that. But I don't know the reason. I don't know how.
Did you see the
in our game
police officer Cam, where he made that chick lift her bra up and shake her shit?
Yeah.
Did you see that bullshit?
Her breast, yes.
Yeah. Had her crying.
What in the hell?
Take me to jail. Take me to jail. These police officers are out of control. I don't care.
I forgot what state it was in.
I don't know.
I want to say it was up in...
they've been out of control forever. Now it's just happening to the white people. That's all.
Okay, yeah. It's Howard Kurtz?
Yeah, Howard Kurtz. That's who it is. Howard Kurtz.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you want it to be on a network to have ratings.
That could be, too. That could be, too. And I know they re-signed Sarah Palin after letting her go.
Yeah.
And I can't, you know, she's just Einstein. That's...
Now, she's talking about running for a Senate seat, from what I hear.
From where? Alaska?
I don't know.
You are Russia, because she can see Russia from her front porch.
I just seen an article and I didn't get to read it.
I heard
they were saying
talking
about running for Senate. I think it was Senate, a Senate seat.
Katie Kerr was asked about just the other day, asked in an interview about the interview she did with her, and the guy actually liked Sarah Palin and said, after you did that, everybody came out against you, got you questions and all that, and he said, that's what I decided. I seen right through everything. There was no got you questions. You asked her what you read. What the hell did you, you know, what do you read? Where you get information, you know, that kind of thing. And she, you know, I read this or that. You know, she, nothing definitive on what the hell she reads. And a few other questions that you and I could answer, but she couldn't or wouldn't. I'm guessing she couldn't. And Katie Kurtz said, "Yeah, none of them were gotcha questions. We ran it by her handlers, and they said, well, yeah, you can. That's nothing. But she couldn't answer a damn one of them." Isn't that the interview where she said she could see Russia?
I don't know if it was that interview, but that was the one where she couldn't come up with magazines that she reads.
Yeah.
And she came up with some weird, you know, what was the last Supreme Court decision?
Yeah. And it
you truly agreed with, and she couldn't come up with anything.
I thought it was disagreed with. And I thought it would be abortion. And that would have been, I believe that was the question that you disagreed with.
Okay.
And I'm saying, well, that's a simple answer to that. If you're a Republican and you're Sarah Palin and you're on the stump talking about abortion, you'd say abortion. She couldn't come up with nothing. So the guy said, you know, well, I decided right then and there, boom, that's it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to surprise everybody. I'm going to tell you the best interviewer I have ever heard in my 58 years. The best. Gets more information. Some of it is, you might not like the information. It depends on who the guest is, but is Howard Stern. This man is a genius at interviewing. There's a lot of stuff on his show that I don't like. That's just simple. But it's like a soap opera reality show is what it is. But when he's interviewing somebody, and like Katie Kirk was on, that's where he was talking to her about things. And my God, he got more information. It's not like your View interview or NBC interviewing somebody. He gets facts or information that no other, well, he asks questions that no other interviewer will. The ones you would like to, you, if you were sitting there, you would want to ask. And he does that. And I'm telling you, he is, to me, the best interviewer I've ever sit and listened to. And he'll ask some dumb shit. But I think that's his persona to loosen them up. Do something, you know, get them. And all of a sudden they start talking. And one, I forgot his name, came out and he said, "I know I'm in trouble. I don't know what happened." It's like talking to a friend. He asked me this, he asked me that. Next thing you know, I'm telling him things I shouldn't have told him. I know I pissed off some friends, you know, but he like disarms these people. And they ask, you know, people that's been on the show before, why do you like coming here? Because the interviews I go through and the one I'm about to go through now on NBC, which was today's show, he said, because they asked me the same crap that they already know. And they give me a list. They give my publicist a list of what they're going to ask me. It's boring, but I got to go through it. Howard doesn't do that. Howard doesn't give a list to nobody. You want to go on his show to get interviewed, you got to take your lumps. And one lady, she's an actress. She has dinner nude with friends. She has a dinner party, and you got to come. You don't have to be nude, but most of them are nude while they're eating. And all of a sudden, she ran out of the studio pretty much crying. And all he was asking her is, "I don't understand. How do you, I mean, why? What is it? Is it a sex thing?" And she said, "No." He said, "Okay. But if I came to your house, do I have to get..." "No. It's just, that's how we are." And she got all freaked out and went out crying and all kinds of shit. But, you know, when he doesn't understand something, he digs deeper. And he got the answer, but by God, she didn't like it. She went out calling her brains out. But somebody, you know, you might not like Howard Stern whatsoever, but his interviewing style I really enjoy, because he has things that it's not mainstream media, that's for damn sure.
Well, mainstream media don't ask shit anymore.
No.
I mean, and, you know, because it's all, you know, their side, you know. They only pick people
more,
that...
more editorial than...
They,
and reporting.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step all over you. It's more editorial than it is reporting now.
Well,
all of us have no idea. We're not reporting. Everybody injecting their opinion is fact.
Yeah.
But I will say, if you are interviewing, you have to know when, you have to use good judgment and know when to back off certain things and know when to press them. See the interviews that I've done, you know.
Yeah, with Stern.
That's what I've learned.
Stern won't back off. If he's got
but he doesn't have to answer to anybody, neither, really.
No.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and Stern doesn't back off. But if the person continues, I'm not going to, you know, I can't answer that, or I won't answer that, well, he'll finally let it slide. He'll go another way around, you know, what he asked. He is smart when it comes. Even Sinnerman was surprised at the interview techniques this man uses. He is very good. And like one, what was it, some lady we were listening to, I've forgotten who, she said, disarms you. It's like you're sitting in a living room and you're just talking to a friend. Next thing you know, you're just spilling your guts. And I've heard that more and more, and I see it more and more. And I tell you, they don't want him on no damn news show doing interviews. People would never go.
Well, that's the one thing they don't have to worry about is he's not interested in
politics. Well, he's very dumb on politics.
And current events.
And he says that. He said, I'm stupid. And he'll tell you.
Yeah, he's just into pop culture mostly.
He knows questions to ask politicians that I really enjoy. I really do.
Well, I've always talked about the one with the brains on that whole deal is that woman.
Oh, Robin?
Yeah.
Yeah, she.
I wouldn't be surprised. She didn't. She doesn't write the questions down for him.
I wouldn't either. She.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, you know, and he's not so high and mighty that he doesn't. And I hear it a lot. Robin, what did they say, or what did he say, or what did she say? Mm-hmm. She'll have to tell him. Yeah, so he'll understand it, and or Robin, you got to answer that one. You know, he's not an egomaniac like I actually thought he was. He is bizarre.
Well, you know whose interviewing style I really love.
What's that?
You know whose interviewing style I really love?
Who?
Richard Maddow. I just love how he just makes you feel at home with his intellect and how he does those gotcha questions.
Oh, yeah. And how they butchered Alex Jones on that tornado that hit Oklahoma.
He's such a master.
Good Lord. He had, some man called in to Alex's show and said, he thought it was HAARP, the government doing it. And Alex said, well, although they can do these things, he didn't think that was what the tornado, who made the tornado happen. And, of course, she cut that part out, and it just made it sound like Alex said, yeah, the government did it, you know, and it's crazy. And the dummies on the left are going, yeah, that guy's a nut.
Well, that's why I love Richard. I mean, Richard is just the master of the gotcha.
Yeah, but her rating sure has dropped like a rock. Dropped like a rock. And that, to me, is a good thing. And Alex Jones is being talked about more and more and more. And I forgot what news first said that he is the... He's the story of 2013. And I can't... Maybe it was Drudge. The Drudge Report said wrote it.
I know Drudge likes him quite a bit.
Well, and, you know, Drudge doesn't put up stuff just to put up stuff. They check things out. But they said he'll be the man of the year in 2013 because he's been right. He's been absolutely right all these years saying what he's been saying. Not everything, but majority of the things he said in his documentaries have come true, and they suggested watch Obama Deception, and I fell out. And you watch it, and Obama, and he's coming out with another one too. It's coming out pretty soon. I don't know the name of it. Sorry.
His biggest problem is he cannot talk to.
No, that's the biggest riff I got on him. He even went over when he was in London. He was on
BBC.
BBC. And their morning show, which is the highest rated news show there. And he just went off again. And he just looked so bad doing that. You got to have a discussion and explain yourself. And the guy...
Yeah, but you know what? But in all fairness, they weren't interested in having any kind of discussion. I mean, you know, they have that same Piers Morgan... I mean, I don't know what it is with the Brits.
Now,
Piers
Morgan is a different ball game. I was embarrassed at first for him, but especially when he went into the accent. I thought that was uncalled for, but... He out-talked Piers Morgan, which usually it's the other way around. But this commentator in the BBC was, you know, doing like he's crazy. This guy's out of his mind, doing his finger going around, you know, inside of his head like he's out of his mind.
But you know what? But they're rude, though. Those people over there, I mean, him, Piers Morgan, Simon from what's that show, American Idol and all of that. I mean, I don't know. I guess they seem to think that's entertaining to people. So I don't know.
Alex Jones goes into an interview instead of it going in as a discussion or a debate or an interview. He goes into it as a war. And he tries to overwhelm right at first. And he doesn't get his message across because everybody just looked at him like a wacko.
And they took him off. I mean, they took him off.
He goes in on all of them as defensive.
Yeah.
He does.
You know what I mean? That's what his problem is. Instead of going in and having an intelligent conversation or whatever, he goes in defensive, and no matter what somebody says, even if they say something that's not, you know, offensive or say anything bad about him, he just takes it that way because he's already in that defensive mode, and then he explodes.
Well,
and so stupid.
No,
he doesn't
do it right.
No,
I
he doesn't.
He would focus more, but not all of them. He does it that way. It's like when he's on AM Coast to Coast with George Norrie, you know, there's certain ones he doesn't do that on, or when he's on Man Cow Show, and you know,
yeah,
some of the other ones.
Yeah, but he doesn't think that they're an enemy.
People that agree with him too.
Yeah.
You know, these other ones that makes him look so bad is people that don't really agree with him, but
try to ask him something about something, then that's when he goes off because he's already defensive.
Yeah, he won't present his argument. He starts yelling his argument. You're like, dude, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Right. That's the only downside I have to the guy.
Yeah, now this website said that the way the guy ended the show, he said, you are the worst person I have ever interviewed.
Yeah. Yeah, but Howard Stern actually interviewed Alex Jones for an hour. And, of course, Howard didn't believe anything that he was saying. And Robin Quivers said, he's got something there, Howard. He's got something there. Believe me. And then all of a sudden, you know, Howard started really listening. And it was a good interview. It was a damn good interview. But like you said earlier, Robin's the brains of that's why
the whole show.
Yeah, if he left, he would quit, man, because there's nobody.
I think she keeps him in. I mean, I've watched it when it was on. He used to be on
E.
E, yeah, a long time ago. So I've watched, you know, that's where I first saw the dude at. And like I said, you know, I think she's the brains of the outfit. I don't think his show would be worth a shit without her.
No, you know, I don't.
But because I think she keeps him centered, I guess.
Right.
That's the way I would put it.
You know, she was when he left the station, he got fired, actually. They wanted to keep her. I think it was K-Rock. I'm not sure. I think it was K-Rock. Fired him, offered her like 4 times a month to stay. And it was big money back then, big money. And she called Howard. Howard said, you got to stay. You got to take that. You don't get an opportunity like that. And she said, no, I want to stay with you. You're groundbreaking, and I want to be a part of it. And it's paid off, and the woman's a millionaire, and he pays her, you know, he's very generous, is what everybody says on the show. Very generous, or in interviews, especially with Robin, and in that, there's a reason. But they've been together forever, and takes care of her, and she's like the brain, and he's got the mouth. But when Alex Jones said what he was saying, because they played some tapes of his show, you know, and now Alex, you can't really believe that. You can't believe our government's doing that. And that's when Robin jumped right on in there and said, yeah, you should believe it. You should believe it because it's true. And she thinks it too. So people are waking up.
Well, I don't think they have a choice. At this particular point in time, this whole goddamn... The whole damn political system and is falling apart.
Yeah.
But every time you turn around, you're seeing, you know, what's been said all along, that these politicians are all one and the same. They couldn't think for themselves if they had to. Most of them. And the ones that are trying to sit here and say that they're all for, you know, freedoms and constitution and all that bullshit, you're finding out it's just that, a bunch of bullshit. They're whoever lines their pocket.
And that's right. And Glenn Greenwald said that Snowden, going back to Snowden there for a second, his revelations is not espionage, I can't even say it, in any real sense of the word. And that's what he's saying. And he's about as left as you can get.
Wow.
So there's people, they're on both sides of the fence on that.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, time will tell.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can say about that. Right now, I wouldn't make a judgment one way or the other.
Right now, if it stands like it is, I say no. But, you know, if he goes cockeyed, if he knows anything. Go ahead.
Well, I think he knows a lot. I really do. I think, you know, from what I understand when I was listening to these, because it was, I don't remember who it was, but they had them up in front of these panel of politicians, and you know, the guy was explaining it was the way that you get your clearance and stuff is so screwed up that, you know, I believe that, you know, there's people that's probably got clearances that shouldn't have them. And, you know,
yeah.
If everything else is like the way the government's being done at this particular point in time, and they've been screwing up a lot in everything,
yes,
you know, that it doesn't shock me.
And, you know, the farm bill that they didn't pass, it came out before the bill, you know, was voted on, that senators, the representatives, their families would profit greatly under this bill.
Mm-hmm.
They I got that article too somewhere. You just wouldn't believe how many congressmen and senators have family is so in the damn farm business that would make tons of money on this crap, and they voted it down. I don't know if it's because the article came out before the vote or not, but it is pretty amazing what these people, even senators that own farms and things like that, would have made a ton of money.
Well, until we fix that, you're
not going to fix that. We throw every goddamn.
No, exactly. Unless you start from scratch, which, you know, I'm not going to say is going to happen overnight, but I see that eventually it is switching. But
hell,
until that's changed, and then we get all these goddamn, you know, corporations that are paying off these people until you get them out of the fucking political thing, it's going to be a disaster. I mean, I was reading this article where they were saying 70% of the American people are on pharmaceutical drugs of one sort or another.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And if that's true, you know, I don't know if that's 100% true, but it wouldn't shock me.
No, it doesn't shock me at all. And we pay full price. You know,
yeah.
Insurance or some whatever.
You know,
you pay full price for them. And other countries like Canada, you don't. And we were promised by Obama, if you remember, we could go to Canada, and he was going to change all that anyway. But until then, you could go to Canada to get your medicine. Of course, that died a quick death.
Yeah.
And money. You got to take the freaking money out. You got to have term limits. You got to get these morons like McCain out of there. Mr. Hero.
Campaign funding limits.
Yeah, all that crap has got to be gone. So a person that doesn't have $50 million, $100 million in the bank, can actually, and has a great education, very smart, knows what he's doing, can run, or she can run for frickin' president. It wasn't meant to be like it is right now, but they got this thing so stacked. The deck is stacked. And that's just how it is right now. And it's not going to change. I don't see it changing in the near future at all.
And unfortunately, when you sit here and look at these college kids, and you know, because I've seen quite a few different interviews and stuff where they go to different colleges and such shit and talk to these kids, and they're supposed to be our future. These fucking kids are morons. I mean, sorry to say it. They're just total morons. They have no clue. You know, I'd say at least 50% of them are 60. It's probably more than that. But 70% of them have no clue on what the hell is even going on.
No.
And these are the son of a bitch. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. And these are the kids that are going to be our future. That's the sad thing.
Especially the ones that were at the OxyContin movement. My God. Yeah. Talk about morons.
No. Absolutely. Agree with that.
And there's a lot of things that's got to change. Now, you know, it kind of sucks that the news media is a lot to blame for that, because, you know, these kids are just watching, you know, regular news. We do watch the news.
Well, that's what they're learning in these schools, though, too.
Right, and what's being taught to them in these classes by these, you know, teachers that are just fucking out there. Did you see the woman? She was a professor, I think, in Pennsylvania somewhere, one of those, you know, hotty-dot-dot schools.
Yeah.
Was saying that if you were a white woman and didn't believe, it had to do with the abortion shit, then you were a racist. And that's what they were telling these kids.
That was MSNBC. Interview on MSNBC.
So you seen that?
Well, I read some of it.
I heard it.
Teaching
your kids.
Did you hear about the Louisiana senator? I guess he's a state senator. I've never heard of him. But he stopped. He said, I'm not a Democrat no more. He said, I'm getting off the plantation. And very eloquently explained what the Democrats were doing. And he's been a Democrat all of his life. And his mom and dad were a Democrat. And he's had enough. He sees what's going on. He knows how started and how it, you know, the guy, it was pretty awesome. And he's a black man. He's putting his beliefs before getting elected. And boy, isn't that something special?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen
at all anymore, hardly.
No, not at all. And his name is, let me think what it is. Doggone it. What is his name? Albert Guilloroy. Guilloroy. He sent shockwaves to the nation when he enthusiastically joined the Republican Party. And he's amazing. I listened to it. I watched it twice. He's just, damn. And he's saying, you know, that he's 103 years old.